module, we have the only one we have received. There may be some people coming late. Would you please ask Tinder, will you get hold of Rip and Mr. Nkongi? Oh, he's just not. Oh, here we are. Because, so he's back. Who should be here then? It would be. Oh, and Honorable Hill Lewis is on paternity leave. So, yeah, those are the two apologies we have. All right? We should be having Honorable Shabangu, and we should be having Albert. Anton Albert. Okay, you see, he will be here, but she's running late. So, what I would just like to indicate to members as we open and before you adopt the agenda, I'm hoping that you're able to go downstairs and I think it's, where is it? Outside the old assembly or where? You've got, I think this is just a synopsis, this one you've given me about macadamia nut oil, tahoe and kipsy. You've got that and you've got them down there. Then you've got Abel Chechi's product named Tugo. That is a revolutionary new construction toy that combines the concepts of play and education in one environment to develop lateral thinking, concentration, and gross and fine motor coordination with cognitive skills. The Tabo McKenzie One Macadamia nut oils, I think, speaks for itself. But except what is very important is that this is a range of products that use macadamia nut oil and nut butter. I didn't even know you could make butter out of that. And that's even what you call it, cosmetics these days. And then you've got Siabende Ibeli. Peter is the product, and he comes from KZN. In interior design, and he has, his business has to date created hand-painted furniture inspired by the uniqueness of South African cultures. Best thing is to have a look at that, because it's inspired by the different cultures of South Africa and the different hats. And then you've got Claire Reed, Real Gardening. We were given the Real Gardening, do you remember, some time ago in a box? It's on a strip, which I thought was fantastic. All you've got to do is lay down the strip, and it actually does grow for those who find it. It's a pre-fertilized seed tape, which encases the seed and fertilizer at the correct distance apart and depth. Real Gardening enables everyone to grow their own vegetables, using minimal land and up to 80% less water. I really think, you know, we've got to focus on the shortage of water coming up. And we should all look at that. And then we've got Kabiega Makoka, Suki Art Toys. Well, they certainly are really arty. Kabiega designs and creates expressive artistic figurines using objects that are found. In other words, recycling art. There we are. And the last one here is Kamiya Fulakavi, Lactalis. She's a young female entrepreneur from Gauteng, and she owns this company, Slick. It's L-I-E-K. Well, this is exciting, and I'm lactose intolerant. She's produced a lactolus milk product. Anyone else who's lactose intolerant? The lactolus product is developed through a process technology to make an enzyme that addresses lactose intolerance in the general population. And well, I thought that was the final one, but there's one more. Mr. T.Z. Mbane, the product name is Imprint. Mr. T.Z. is a young male entrepreneur from Cape Town in the Western Cape. I don't know where else Cape Town could be, but there we are. He owns a company called Swagger Diaries. It produces accessories and shoes using material usually associated with a Chinese shopping bag. I'm not sure what material that is. Maybe a fabric or a leather that's pseudo leather. So just to recap, that's Soweto, Johannesburg, Gauteng, Accounting, Mlazi, KZN, and real gardening, also Johannesburg, Karankua, Johannesburg, and Slick is Rob's half 10 again, and then it's the Western Cape. Please study that, and please do make a point of going down to see it. These are original articles and inventions, and it really would be worthwhile if we all went and took a look. Right. On that particular note, I want to simply add one thing, and that is to deal with the issue raised by the Honourable Macpherson, and otherwise, and that will be dealt with in a couple of minutes. So please, can we have somebody to adopt the agenda with that addition? Thank you, Honourable Williams, seconded by Honourable Colonel. Now. The Honourable Elvis is away. He's got a visa problem, so he's undertaking that. Right, there was a request from yourself, Honourable Macpherson, that you were not a request. You pointed to something you thought you heard the DG, Mr. Lionel October, say in this meeting when making a presentation. The Honourable Kalaka was not, I was not chairing, so I said I would consult the printed copy, that's the sort of Hansard which records everything, every meeting here. And we got, I also asked for a script, a transcript of just that, and I should have issued it. If I haven't, it's available. You raised the issue and said you didn't think it was, as I think words you phrase you used parliamentary, wasn't suitable for people to be called pessimists here in our country, people who have different views. Well, I looked up, I listened myself, got the transcript, and if I can quote, it's mentioned two or three times, and the word is not pessimist, it's skepticism. I think again, this is a verbatim, no corrections, I think obviously with any new program there is skepticism, and I think that is natural, but the good thing about this Pakisa program is it brings the skeptics into the same room with government and the private sector. So the word was skepticism, and towards the end, as it were, he then refers to, he talks about Aspen and the Archender. And now, as I said, then years later, we sit, we have world-class capabilities within the pharmaceutical industry. As I said, people can be skeptical, but I'm saying that if we're going to get 5% growth, there are two industries that are key to it. The one is advanced manufacturing, shipbuilding, etc., and oil and gas. So I can do that. Skepticism is a very acceptable word. And there it is. So it could have been just that the recording, you know, in the room, the mics were not as clear as they could have been. I hope that set puts the matter to rest on that one. Thank you. So that we've dealt with. Now, the other issues, Namisa's response. Do you have Namisa's response? You will be given that. These were outstanding issues. SAD, response to parliamentary questions from the session held on the 18th of August. And then the National Consumer Commission, a fourth quarter report, replied to questions. That 7 pages, the rest are 1 page. Please study those and include them with your minutes of that day and your own notes. Right. Can we then, I know that quarter past, we'll go on until quarter past 9, but we could go across now to yourselves in SAT. We're always very pleased to see you here with us today, and I'm not sure who's going to make the presentation, but just a minute. Yeah. Zamana of the Suntia is east along East Way.
Right,
okay. We've got Mr. Masako, Chief Financial, the South African Bureau of Standards, and Mr. Magani, SAD Design Institute. Yes, I'm continue to be impressed. And thank you very much. You've handed out a few little gifts, which we are allowed to receive because it's all labeled. Do you see that there? The box is, you know, doesn't indicate the size. Thank you. Right, over to yourself.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to the Honourable Members. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to come and talk about the Design Institute housed in the South African Bureau of Standards. SABS has, over decades, enabled, you know, the South African economy through the creation of standards. This has enabled and provided the SABS the opportunity to provide these technical services across various industries within the economy, including the manufacturing and fabrication sectors. Now, as part of social responsibility and in pursuit to drive economic development within the country, we then created the Design Institute. Now, the Design Institute started in 1965 and, you know, has evolved over the years. But in the year 2012, the board of the SABS decided to reposition the Design Institute to align with the current economic environment, the economic need, and the economic outlook. The new strategy was then developed. The strategy was developed to address a few factors, to address youth unemployment, to drive entrepreneurship, and to also you know, create future industrialists. Now, what is key is that, you know, there have been quite a few initiatives within the national innovation system, and what the Design Institute does is, you know, it actually fits in. When you look at your innovation, you know, chasm, there's the idea, there's the, you know, creation of prototypes, and there's the commercialization element. What the Design Institute does is actually fills in the gap, because it plays the role of an implementer. And the beauty about that is it being housed in the SABS is as part of the value chain. Is by the time you have your development reaching the market, the SABS environment provides for the standards to be created for those specific products. Now, one of the, you know, the passion, you could say, that drives the Design Institute is to create, you know, similar to what we call Silicon Valley of South Africa, where we would like to, just as much as we expand the current industries with the various products that we offer, but we'd also like to see new industries being created, global industries being created and headquartered in South Africa. I will now pass on to Gavin, who will give a bit more detail on the achievements of the Design Institute. Thank you.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I think that for us, it is essential in South Africa to understand that new jobs cannot come from the existing landscape. It is imperative also to understand that 90% of the products that we import are products that can be created and manufactured locally. So when we started looking at the Design Institute, it's 50 years of intellectual capacity that's been there. And those are the stuff that we've been leveraging within one space. You do not find an integrated ecosystem within South Africa where an entrepreneur can go to one space and be assisted to build this business model, but also to develop this idea to a product to a market, and that is what we created. So when somebody walks into the Design Institute, he does not need to go anywhere else, because we're leveraging the existing systems. We also ensure that the entrepreneur does not walk from pillar to post, because that is what it is that we are doing. In terms of understanding the concept of good design is quality design, that is how we started the revolution to actually combat the import of low quality products into South Africa. And when we started looking at ourselves as a country, it does not make sense to export your raw material and import the finished product. So local beneficiation is what we have started doing. Localization of existing products that we don't need to import. That is what we've created. So over the past 18 months, we've then looked at what it is that we need to measure in South Africa. We've started looking at the concept of increasing in profits, increasing in new jobs, increasing in new product development, etc. And those are the aspects that South Africa needs. Those are the new jobs that we are creating, local industries through innovation. And you will see on the left-hand side in your presentation, it is not just words. It's actually new products that we developed. Within 18 months, 70 new technologies, 70 new products has been developed within the Design Institute. So we also contributed to the iPad for the design. That is one of our key roles. And without the concept even of getting funding from the DTI, we still contribute to IPAC. I'm talking specifically the Design Institute per se. So our target was to support SMEs. In 2013-14 we had like 20, but we need 25. In 2014-15 our target was 25. We produced 58 in terms of supporting new SMEs and developing new SMEs within this current landscape. So 24 months looking back, we developed 17 new products, services and technologies. We've assisted 170 new youth innovators, developing them from idea to product to market. 200 small businesses, youth enterprises have been developed. And then we also went further down in terms of rural school support from grade 9 to grade 12. Where we started looking at enterprise development, new innovations coming into the market, and we supported about 680 new young industrialists from school level. So up to date, we've supported 1,030 new youth entrepreneurs. And it is important also to understand that in March of 2013, we produced South Africa's first Next Generation Industrialist Fair, where we introduced these industrialists to investors, where we introduced them to the South African public to show that local innovation is prevalent within South Africa.
Can you move your slides on?
I'm sorry. Sorry, Jack. Yeah. So, up to date, you will see that we have received global recognition. I've been invited to the European Union because it is the first phase globally where you can go into one space to be supported from idea to product to market, supporting your business through design. We had a visit 2 weeks ago from the president of the Global Entrepreneurship Network once again. He was stating that this is the first place in South Africa where you can see an accelerator, not even just in South Africa, but in Africa, so to say. The EcoGrad board visited us 3 months ago, and our case study was also showcased globally in terms of one space where industrialists can actually be created. So you will go through all of that, and many ministers, many portfolio committees have been visiting this particular space, and I think the reality for us is that once again, many people are seeing the impact. Many people are understanding that this is one space in South Africa and in Africa where we can actually create new jobs. And our current funding model, so to say, is being supported by private sector, it's being supported by the Transnet of this world, the SME Foundation. Those are the people that actually give us money to basically develop new services, new products, new businesses. So I'm giving over to our CFO once again.
Thank you, Gavin. What I'd like to highlight is the Design Institute has had the benefit of, leveraging of a key government policy around BBBE, which, gives opportunity for corporates and federal entities to invest in enterprise development. And we've actually managed to leverage, some of that funding, that has been enabled by that specific policy to be able to implement the projects in a Design Institute. However, we would like to see the Design Institute grow to scale, be able, to offer more to our young people. And I just like to highlight a few challenges around, the government co-funding being, allocated to the design institute for us to be able to grow and expand our landscape across industries and across across different provinces. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Ms. Masako and Mr. Magema. That we specifically asked the Design Institute to come over to us this morning. We couldn't complete the work the other day when they did come, sad, because, as you know, it creates employment, entrepreneurship, it encourages, and most of all, it nurtures innovation. Design Institute. I was just interested in your funding model, but let me allow others to comment. Members, any questions, comments? Honourable Colonel, followed by the Honourable Esther Hazen. Right, thank you.
Two questions. I think last time when we visited, there was a young entrepreneur working on cell phone batteries or the charging of batteries. I just want to know what happened to him.
Okay.
Now you can reply again. And then secondly, it's always, I know it's important and it's very good, and I think the Design Institute has got a soft spot in this committee. So, it's new, it's energetic, it's innovative. But, in the end of the day, do you have some sort of analysis, what you've put into what eventually who are successful in the end?
Yes, thank you very much. Honourable Esther Hazen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Throughout the years, the South African Bureau of Standards or manufacturers have actually sought and maintained the Bureau's stamp as a pillar for their marketing strategies. And sadly, that is starting to disappear. We are finding that that poor quality is hampering service delivery. We need the new designs, new innovations all the time, but as the public is actually, a lot of vendors and things are placed and certain specs are advertised, but then not at the end produced actually, and this is really a sad case. And also it's a concern that quality assurance is not required by government departments actually, sadly for me, and even in the design facilities as well. Thank you.
Honourable
Esther Hayden,
Honourable
Nkongi. Thank you very much, Chairman. I did not think that the program was nice, but I will ask questions that are outside of the presentation. 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, it was an exhibition that was taking place at the Peninsula University of Technology. There were two guys from the university who invited, because of the distribution that companies doing was the country. There is a thinking that they've made. They are going to take care of those who went through circumcision, and it was a total thing. I'm not sure what that you have. Well, I'm looking at what we import. We imported the Caesarean equipment from Israel to come to South Africa for such a purpose. I don't know whether we have research that we have people in South Africa who can do that, who have experience, because that is indigenous knowledge. Now, I'm afraid of this indigenous innovation to be taken away and intellectual property to be claimed by others somewhere in Europe. You know? So do you follow those young people? Or what is your recruitment of people with innovation? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mkongi. I think the question that Honorable Kornoff has raised on the cell phone is important because everyone wants to know, has it been patented, can you buy it, etc. But the one issue I was interested in hearing more on, you indicated as yet the Design Institute in FABS gets no funding from DTI. And it's related to the question, I'm not sure who asked it now, either Honorable Kornoff or Honorable Esterhazen, and that is on the funds that you are receiving. You know, you have an output, a target. How does this, how do you express that? How do you plan ahead, number one? Number two, is a one-year or three-year plan for funders? And thirdly, do you, the funders, allow one of them to sit on your audit committee? Does the Design Institute have an internal audit committee? Thank you very much. Over to you. Over to yourself, then, Mr. McGanna. And yes, I was just seeing Mr. Shinga Damani, Chief Director, Industrial Development Division. You probably thought it was up our fate, did you? So we have a forum.
Okay, Honorable Kronoff, in terms of Selden, we already at the second product development. The first was the, what you call it, the remote control. We're currently developing this bag, and which, where you can put a laptop in and it will charge from the rate of the cell phone towers. However, which brings us back to the funding model, I don't own the candidate. The candidate is owned by TIA, the Technology Innovation Agency, so I cannot push for him to get to market quicker. So he's currently at the technology station at TUT for the bag development, and that is the challenge. Because we are not open to the public and owning the candidates, we cannot push them quicker because it's dependent on who pays for this. In terms of our analysis, we have 3 months impact studies that we do on candidates, so we know exactly who's where at what particular stage. So if you go to our impact book, you will see prototype development, or you will see licensing agreement, or you will see already busy training. It is imperative that we start measuring those. And in our we were doing an impact study 2 weeks ago. What happened is that it takes us about between 6 to 12 months to get to market versus the 5 to 10 years currently in South Africa from idea to product to market. In terms of our funding model, Honorable Chair, what happens is that we do business development on our side, so which means we will go to particular clients and we'll say, let's leave it to enterprise development model and let's develop new products for your procurement value chain. So Transnet is supporting us. We have South Africa's first design and innovation research center housed for Transnet. We're developing products that they might need within the next 5 years for their procurement value chain. Then we have SAP Foundation. What has happened with the Social Innovation Awards was that they will just give the money to the candidate, and we can never track the move to market. So we're managing that particular one for them as well. We also have FIDA, where we do interventions for the existing SMEs, redefining the value propositions and getting them to sustainability models. And on the other side also, we have the Partners Arts and Culture, etc. The problem is that it's not a 3-year funding model. SAB Foundation is now with us for 2 years. Transnet will be with us for 5 years. So, in essence, it's results driven. So people will not renew if it wasn't results driven. In terms of the audit committees, Honourable Chair, we do have governance bodies that sit within a prior space. We have M&E committees, which will be the monitoring and evaluation committees that will actually look at the work that we're doing in terms of the results. And you must also remember that ultimately, from a strategic perspective, our clients need to report on numbers that goes back. So we governed by that particular committee. In terms of staff, there is not an audit committee internally that will monitor, but we are 100% reliant on our particular clients to look at the results. Dr. Demane is here. We've already this year started looking at, we had a meeting with the DG in February, so the DG had particular short-term and medium-term funding models. Up till today, unfortunate things this year, we do not have core funding, so we cannot keep the doors open. We've done a treasury application 2 months ago, didn't hear anything back, so that's where we're currently at.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the issues around the Design Institute is housed within the South African Bureau of Standards, and the South African Bureau of Standards has governance structures in place inclusive of an internal audit function. And as the board of the SABS has oversight over the operational and strategic direction and achievement of the Design Institute. This is over and above what the sponsors have oversight over. Now, in terms of the quality assurance, as the SABS, we continue to offer testing certification services to those who require the services. And we encourage, as our CEO said in the last meeting, that state-owned entities, drive that whoever tenders, come to SABS and get the products tested to ensure quality and protection to the consumers that use those products. So the services are available at the SABS. In terms of the question around, IP protection, protection of our indigenous knowledge. I am aware of legislature that was instituted and driven by the Department of Science and Technology a few years ago, where it stated that state-owned IP, cannot be sold to anyone else and cannot leave, the country. It is the owners of the institutions that invest, which is the universities, to ensure that that IP, stays protected and within the country. The opportunity on the Design Institute side is for us to have access to those technologies, to be able to commercialize and take them to market. So that is the space that we will play in as a Design Institute.
If I can just respond to the traditional practices. Traditional medicine is a dedicated division within the SABS that also sits under the Design Institute. So you will see that some of the products that we currently have is taking traditional practices and make them relevant to the current market. One of our plans is in terms of indigenous knowledge systems, where we basically look at how do we professionalize and how do we make sure that our current traditional practices are translated into modern products. So it's part of innovation in our space.
I was about to say I think there's still a few, it is an outstanding question, but one that requires a follow-up. Let me allow the follow-up one to continue.
I'm just going to make a formal follow-up. I will do it to the chairperson. I will go to that institution and get the names of the people and how you can help them. So I'll do it to the chairperson because I don't know their names. I just saw them on TV and I was impressed because they are in line with what our government is doing in terms of keeping HIV and AIDS and the death of young boys in the bush. So that is why it's very important for me. Thank you.
One that I thought hadn't been effectively answered was the cell phone one, in which in which you indicated that because it's been driven by the Technology Institute design, you actually, can't intervene as such. My concern is this. It was one you raised at the time when you first saw us and introduced us. You said to yourself, the longer you delay, the more your invention is overtaken. Now, that's been since we heard over a year. Well, they're not over a year, January, it's about 7 months or so. But you indicated that already this had been on the go for about a year. And really, it flies in the face of your own concerns and beliefs. So is there nothing, I'm going to ask the Chief Director, Mr. Manas, to try and respond to this, because we wouldn't want to develop something that is already overtaken.
I will put a question, I'm fortunate to serve on science and technology as well, so that is the next question I'll put to TIA. But, dear, can I ask you, have you ever thought to think that the Design Institute should not belong with science and technology rather than with DDI? And is there any analysis being done to make sure where you will be in the best interest for young entrepreneurs and for South Africa?
For the chief director to give that direction and then do come in.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. This is one of those questions that I didn't really prepare for. The way we look at it from the department is that design is taking ideas into products, into commercial products. And therefore, we feel that it fits in with our mandate as a department. However, I don't think there's any reluctance to explore how best to work with the Department of Science and Technology. We have a number of projects that we work with them currently. I don't think there's any contradictions in that regard.
Do that then in the Design Institute itself?
I think that my CEO will respond now, but in terms of whether we belong, science, technology, etc., in South Africa, there is not one department that we actually just focus on. So when we talk about them, this is our problem, that we tend to look at innovation in terms of science and technology alone, which is not right. Innovation belongs across the board. And I mean, the Honorable Member was even talking now about traditional medicine and about indigenous knowledge systems. So we are currently sitting in a space where we can leverage across different departments, and we're the only body that can do that. So I would not, Honorable Purno, go and say that we need to sit in ESD, because 2008, what happened when the National System of Innovation was declared, the word design was taken out. So which means that it was never the intention to actually translate R&D into intellectual or economic intellectual capabilities. And that is where we're currently playing. We're bringing design, the making or the translation of R&D into commercial products. So I think we need to we currently where we're supposed to be in terms of like the chief director.
Thanks. I think the Honourable Kuno has a point, and I think that the gentleman is also right to an extent. And I'd like to use a great example of renewable technology. I mean, I think we have the potential to be the world leader in that. And I think that an organisation like yourself has a great role to play in it. But there's no good doing that through DGI, because that specific focus is you would find the biggest support in technology, in science and technology. So I think it's what I would like to see out of the institute is seeing more sort of transversal interaction with other departments that are really sort of sector specific to projects. Roping in other departments to assist. How can you assist the education, innovative education, to become more cutting edge in the way in which we teach pupils. How can we find better technology advances in correctional services so we can get people out of prisons but still keep communities safe. So I think that's really the challenge that exists for you and how you sort of get that going forward. Thank you.
I think, look, you were working in that direction. I could see Mr. Mayani and Ms. Masako, is that it? But, I think what would be helpful, because you can see the synergy yourself between some departments, a greater synergy has a potential to exist. And I think this is what the Honourable Maxine is saying, and others perhaps less so. One may not immediately see this as falling within the Industrial Policy Action Plan, and yet it does. It does. And I think the Industrial Policy Action Plan is precisely that. It has various champions within the Industrial Policy Action Plan. Almost every ministry, every department is involved. But what needs to happen, I think, is greater synergy needs to be developed between those who are the champions of a specific thing. If you take this merely as an example, perhaps science and technology may have been the champions of this, but within the Industrial Policy Action Plan, which is overarching, etc. So I think those are the things that we have to look at. How best can we, can a group of people, can a unit, contribute to better service delivery and economic growth, and inclusive economic growth in the country? That's what it's about. And you can only do that by departments working closely together, especially cross-cutting units. And I'm glad there isn't a wall between the two of you, but there are other departments, as the Honourable Coronel has indicated, as well as the Honourable MacPherson. But just on that note, it would seem that there still appears to be, as of the last 7 years, and we're getting better at it, but out there, among the public, people of South Africa, they sometimes really don't know when it's SADS and when it's NRCS. If it's a SADS issue, it's an NRCS issue. And it's almost similar to the NCC and the National Credit Commission, so what I would like to see, and we've been asking for this for 7 or 8 years now, please, can you put together something, and though on radio and TV, that makes it clear to people, not just through journals, what it is, what is the relevance of SADS to the person on the street? Is there a relevance? And the NRCS will be telling them the same thing. So I do appreciate you coming here and also putting up the little exhibit. And I am going to encourage all the members to go down there in the rest of the time we have got left for the committee time. So please go and have a look at these exciting, my word, yes, they've also got excited, at these exciting products that you do see here. Go and have a look at them. These have all been designed here and commercially produced in our country. So please, you all got one of these, am I right? Please go and use this. And thank you very much, Mr. Damana, his director. Thank you to CFO and the head of the design unit. Thank you, Mr. McGanney. Thank you. Mr. Damana?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just want to add in terms of the
budget proposal that the DTI and the Department of National Treasury, we are still working on the budget. It's a two-way-pro issue. It's a process issue, so nobody has said no yet to the budget proposal that is put forward. Just want to put that on record. Thanks.
Thank you, Nana. Now, for the committee, there is a change because the Auditor General, we slotted him in on the 1st after the program was changed by Parliament, and he's unable to make the 1st of September. So what Mr. Hermans is proposing is that it goes to the 4th of September. That's a Friday, that meeting, engagement with the Auditor General. So that he can't make it, you know, on the current day, which is Tuesday, the 1st of September. So he wanted to share the audit findings on the DTI and its entities. Very important meeting. And that means we've already got something 8:30 to 10:30 on Friday. It will entail us meeting till 12:30 on Friday the 4th. Friday the 4th. That's what's being proposed. Honourable MacPherson, that's the day you can't be here.
Worse than that is that's the day that Honourable Hilders and I are both not in Cape Town.
No, I just remember you sent something either to me or to Mr. Medima yesterday. So we'll have to find another date, but it's going to have to be before the 8th of September. So for the moment, there is no engagement with the Office of the Auditor General on Tuesday the 1st, but we do have a briefing on the Promotion and Protection of Investment Bill, and we'll plan for something else in that place. So we won't go further than that. Is that all right? So for this week, then, we have completed our work. And I know that many of you have got party political commitments to attend to. So we'll see you next week, Tuesday, the 1st of September. That will be the official briefing, on the Promotion and Investment Bill. And we hope the NCOP will be here to join us as well. When I hear the NCOP, the sister committee, Eddie McHugh. All right? Meeting adjourned. Please go down to the old assembly chamber outside.